Hello, everybody. This is Christina with On Request Magazine, and I am here today with Lori Allen, voice actress extraordinaire. How are you, Lori?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's so good to be with you today.
It's great to have you, and just so that everyone can kind of get a mental picture here of Lori, Lori is best known for her voicing of characters like Diane Simmons on Family Guy, one of my favorites, Pearl the Whale on SpongeBob SquarePants. I love her so much. And
me too. I just went and recorded some SpongeBob yesterday.
Oh, great. So you know, I'm really sad to be out of that stage with my children who are now no longer children, not sitting there watching SpongeBob half the day. So I need to get on there myself and watch just for my own enjoyment.
It's fun. There's some adult jokes that we were recording yesterday that you're like, oh my gosh, I hope the kids don't quite get this. But it's good for adults and families and kids. I think it's perfect. Oh. Tom Kenny's actually directing this season, which is incredible, who plays SpongeBob. So
awesome.
He's wonderful. I was in the booth. I was like, why is he giving me notes yesterday? And then I was like, because he's directing, and he's the nicest, most talented, loveliest human being ever. So it's really cool.
It's just such a great show.
I didn't know he was directing this season, so it's fun.
Well, he's great, and I've always loved the show and all the characters, and I constantly still, we have all of our inside jokes, me and the kids, from various episodes, so it's so lovely to speak with someone who works on the show.
Oh, thank you.
Well, let's talk a little bit about why we're talking today, and this is regarding this great movie that's about to hit next week, which is Inside Out from Disney Pixar,
Inside
correct?
Out, yeah.
Well, I mean, there's so much about this movie that I think is going to just hit home with families and kids and just, you know, just people in general when it comes to balancing emotions. So if you could real quick, just for listeners' sake who may not be familiar with this movie, can you give us a little bit of backstory on this plot line that we're following?
Sure. I'd love to. Inside Out is such a beautiful film. It really is gorgeous. It's about this young girl named Riley, and they take her, well, you really see her from a baby, really going into adolescence. And first of all, the picture itself is just beautiful to look at, the way they've animated. It's just incredible. And it's about the main, the main theme of the film is how she is sort of uprooted from Minnesota, and the parents, her lovely parents, voiced by Diane Lane and Kyle MacLachlan, take her to San Francisco. The parents get rerouted or relocated, you know, for work, and she is not a happy camper. And it's really just, you know, a real live, true situation about her journey of just having to struggle with her emotions about being uprooted as a little girl, especially going into adolescence and having to leave her, you know, her friends and her hockey team, and then just feeling incredibly homesick and at a very different, you know, big city squished in, you know, in these crazy hills of San Francisco and not in her beautiful, more rural setting of Minnesota, and just how one deals with all your emotions, and the parents have to deal with their emotions, and I'm in the mom's head, and so, you know, the parents are having a tough time understanding their daughter who's sort of acting out. And what's so beautiful is basically the main character, Riley, you see that she's run by, I believe it is, let's see, joy, sadness, despair, anger, and what is the other fifth one? I'm losing my mind here. Joy, sadness, despair, anger, and disgust.
Okay.
And then what happens is that joy obviously gets sort of lost. And so the whole movie is such a beautiful metaphor. She, like, ends up in long-term memory it's basically the journey of how Joy then finds her way back, and then also how all the other Joys is like fighting to be the main one, and then you realize that all the emotions, all of our emotions in general, are important and necessary, in fact, to survive and to experience in order to be a complete human being. And at the very end, I don't want to be a spoiler alert, but you realize that you know, sadness in fact ends up being saving the day, because that's how Riley is able to express herself and be able to reconnect with her parents and really, you know, find her emotions and be able to share with her parents truly what's going on, and they reconnect and aren't so unhappy, and then become happy and whole as a family unit and as individuals. And it's just gorgeous. I mean, I was sitting there with a lovely guy to my right, my friend Danny, and he's got two girls, and I just looked over, and he was a mess. You could just hear pit drop and lots of sniffling and cleaning, handing and napkin sharing, and it's just so beautiful, you know. It's a beautiful message, and it's a beautiful film to look at, and it's very emotional. I mean, it's just about how we sort of all have to feel our emotions in order to kind of work through things, and it's just beautiful. It's a really beautiful film.
I think that is such an important message, you know, that first of all, there's so many things about this film even being put together that I love. And, you know, the fact that, you know, this is, like you said, you touched on it right away. It's such a real life situation that many, many families have had to go through. And, you know, I went through this myself with my kids and leaving California, you know, when they're still in middle school and going across the country. Then again, coming back, and, you know, there's a lot of things that happen when it comes to family relocations that, you know, I think we really don't talk about. It just sort of happens. It's life, but it does wreak havoc on a kid and the parents too, when they're having to try and, you know, sort of sort through all of that and what their kids are going through. So bravo that they put this out there.
In general, you know, like, I don't think as humans we like change, and especially at that age, you know.
No.
I mean, any kind of change, right? As adults, I'm sure everybody can relate. Like, just change is hard, change is difficult, and then all of a sudden, it brings up all these other emotions. You know, that's exactly what the movie's about. And, you know, when you find yourself going, I didn't know I was just full of even despair, or, you know, I'm just sort of indifferent right now, or, you know, just, you know, emotions you didn't even know existed inside of you sort of come up.
Right.
And, you can either push them aside or you can feel them in order to work through them, because they're not going to go away. You kind of have to deal with them in order to move onward and through them. You can't kind of disconnect, and that's what the film is really about. Like, she tries so hard to disconnect, and then those five emotions and how they work together. You know, that's the other thing, is you can't kind of compartmentalize, and you can see in this young girl that once the emotions themselves, that's what's so great about the film, is that the emotions work together, that are voiced so beautifully by, you know, Mindy Kaling and Amy Poehler, Bill Hader, and Louis Black and Phyllis, and they're just so phenomenal. They work together in order to make her a complete young girl. And but all our emotions have to work together, or else we sort of, you know, we disconnect and we don't quite know how to relate out in the world. So
true.
And then of course the parents, so we're in the mom's head. And she's upset with the husband because he's, at one point she feels like he's kind of checked out, and she's like, you know, and I was like, typecasting, I'm the bossy mom. I'm the bossy one in the mom's head. She's like, signal the husband. So we're trying to get, you know, the husband to sort of be a participant, and because he's real preoccupied with his work, and we're trying to get him to kind of, you know, show up and be the dad, the very involved dad that he was back when they were in Minnesota. And that's, of course, you know, the main conflict, and he's not trying to ignore her, of course, he's just preoccupied.
Sure, of course.
So everybody's got voices in their head, right?
Well, yeah, we all do, and I think that's what's great about this is, like you said, for kids, you know, when you're going through something like that, such a big change, you're not really mature enough to understand, like we adults always understand it, right? But to really understand that you do have to deal with each of those emotions and not push them aside in order to get through it. And that's what's great about the movie, is that maybe this will help teach that to this, you know, maybe a generation of kids who need this in their lives right now.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. And I remember reading somewhere already that there was this one kid who was like afraid. I just read an article actually that there was this one little boy who's terrified of swimming. And that after seeing, I guess he saw a pre-screening of the film, or maybe even just heard of it, I'm not quite sure. I think maybe he saw a pre-screening of the film, and that he said, you know what, I understand fear, and I'm just going to do it anyway. And he just, like, jumped for the first time.
Oh, my gosh.
He was terrified of the water, and at, like, maybe, like, 11 or 12 even, he finally just said, I'm going to do it, and I'm just afraid, I'm going to do it anyway. And he just jumped into the water, you know?
That's great.
And I thought that was so sweet. And I was thinking that therapists would make a bundle, that they should be standing outside, they should be standing outside the movie theaters with their cards. They could get a lot of parents and counseling. They could get, you know, child psychologists. You know. But it really is. It's really great. It's especially because of the generation gap, I think that, you know, it just shows parents being really attentive to the kids' needs without being a spoiled brat. You know, they just really listen to her, and they just sort of hold that space for her to have her feelings, you know?
That's what's great, too, because I was going to mention that, the role of the parents in the movie. And forgive my sore throat to all our listeners out there. I'm battling this laryngitis. But, you know, what I was really looking at the scene in the trailer where they're sitting at the dinner table, the parents and Riley. You know, I thought it was such a great scene because it touches on things that adults do all the time, which is assume what the other one is thinking. Or that the other person should assume what they're thinking. So aside from the dilemma they're having with her, which is, neither of them really know what's going on with her. They're not really sure what's going on with each other. And no one really talks about it. And couples go through this all the time. And then it affects the child. So I think it's great, too, that everyone who goes to see this movie as a family can learn something from it.
I couldn't agree more. And I think it's also a good example of when the, you know, throughout the film, and then especially at the end, that, you know, the parents are just like, oh my gosh, we didn't know. Thank you so much for telling us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you're right, though. I think couples, I know certainly with my ex and I, you know, you just assume. He's like, well, I didn't know. And I was like, well, I didn't know either. You have to have said something. You know, you can't read somebody's mind.
Right.
And I think with even best friends and girlfriends and boyfriends, husbands and wives, and people that have known each other for 10, 20, 30 years, you can't just assume that you know what's going on with somebody. You have to be brave enough, especially even some of those longer-term relationships. You have to just say, you know what? I'm going through this and this and this today. This is how I feel today.
Right.
And, you know, grief or, you know, whatever it is, you gotta tell the other person to, you know?
Yeah, you do. You have to speak up because I'm guilty of it, too. And when you mentioned the dad being preoccupied, you know, as a mom and a wife, you tend to say, you know, well, what's wrong that he can't see what I'm seeing, or what's wrong that he's not tuned in the way he used to be, or what, you know, and
Right. Then
there's the reality. And I'm not saying it couldn't be reversed if it's a stay-at-home dad and then mom in the other situation. You know, when you're doing a work transition, or, you know, my husband, God bless him, works probably a good 80 hours a week. So, you know, if I really total it up, it's really insane. So, you know, you tend to say, well, I want to talk to you about this and I want to talk to you about that. But, you know, exhaustion, mental fatigue, all of those things that you might not feel that they're feeling, you know, it's about understanding each other. And that can be very hard.
It is hard. I think we really underestimate the importance of having your feelings. And then, like, I remember I had a fantastic therapist who was like, my first assignment with her was, I want you to go home and write down for the entire week what you felt. And I was like, what? And she said, just jot it down in your iPhone, just talking to the thing that this happened and I felt. And of course I was like, wow. And I was going through a really difficult time. And I guess what she wanted me to do was notice that there were different emotions, just like in the movie. It wasn't just all like, you know, wasn't
right. Everything
was just like panic. And so, you know, this happened and I felt lonely. This happened and I felt anxious. This happened and I felt grief. And this happened and I felt bored. And so then it helps you to go, oh, it just was like information, so that then I could know what action to take. I could call a friend. I'm really tired. I need to take a nap.
Right.
Or I need to go be around people. I need to go and get with all my girlfriends and go out and go hit the town, or go to a movie and just be with my good girls, you know, my good girl pals that I've known for forever. So I think your feelings kind of inform what you need to do, you know. And like in the movie, when she kind of wants to take off, and then it gets, you know, sometimes it gets really drastic. And that's the thing about feelings. It's like, and your emotions, if you're not in tune with them, boy, you can sort of get way off course, even as an adult, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You get so far detached and you're like, what in holy hell just happened? You know, it can lead couples to a bad place. You can get so far away from what's going on that you're like, you know, I better get back in touch with what's really going on here so that you have healthy relationships and healthy relationship with yourself. so that you can say to somebody, you know what, I'm in a really cranky place today. It is nothing personal. I'm so sorry, you know?
Exactly, exactly.
Or whatever the case is, you know?
That's very true. Yeah. You know, I think we do ironically, what Riley does in the movie, we do too as adults all the time, and we push our feelings off, and it's easier to sort of detach and try and act like everything's okay when it's not. You know, it's harder to deal with things. So
Yeah. That's
a good message for everyone, Yeah. Really, to deal with your feelings. So, which takes me to my question for you that I wanted to ask was that, you know, this was a very different character to voice for you. And, you know, normally when you're voicing a character, you have to tap into many different emotions for one character. But this one, you're kind of dialed into one emotion that is somebody else's emotion. So how did you go about that? I mean, how did you draw just this, like, one tone for this character in the movie?
Well, the nature of how we work on these Pixar films is really cool. We're in a big soundstage together, first of all. We're on the Disney lot, and it's so cool. So on a big soundstage together, and we're all up on our feet all day improvising, and for the most part. And then once we get closer and closer to finalizing a picture, then you'll sort of see, like, oh, okay, that's my character. And you know, it just becomes like an instinct. You'll be like, okay, I see that that's become my character now. And she's sort of the one in charge. Okay, I can relate to that. You know, when you're under pressure, I'm the one that's in charge, and I can relate to that in some situation. You just pull upon some kind of situation where that's just happened in your life or in your personality, and I know that that's certainly something I can relate to. I got it. That's kind of my personality. So that just kind of comes out, you know?
Right.
So,
well, that's cool.
Sort of, yeah.
Very cool. Now, you mentioned that you all sort of, you know, you're there in the soundstage together, which was the other thing I was going to ask you, too, was, you know, did you have the opportunity to actually work alongside everyone else in the cast at one point? This is such a great cast, by the way. I just want to mention that.
Oh, I know.
I mean, amazing casting. Yeah. So was it a lot of you together? Did you have more solo sessions? Or, you know, it must have been kind of a neat experience to have all these great comedic actors playing these voices of these other characters along with you.
We were with the characters, like the voices in the mom's head and the dad's head. We were all together. All of Riley's characters recorded with each other.
Okay.
So we were sort of with our own headquarters, so to speak. You know, they call them the headquarters, right?
Right.
Riley's headquarters were together, so we were just with our, you know, we were just with the moms and the dads.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we didn't have sessions with them, but we would then, when we would roll back, they would do the playbacks and we could see them, so that was kind of cool. So in essence, they were in our heads or in our headphones, or it's really to picture so you would see it. It was really cool. So
I've always thought it would be a fascinating process to do voiceover. So I give a lot of credit to the work that goes into it. And, I mean, these movies, I mean, people tend to sort of look at the animation more than the voicing. And I think it must be very hard work to go in and, you know, put something to these pictures. You know, I mean, do you have a storyboard that you're going along with the process of recording your vocals?
Yeah. Okay. With the Pixar stuff, you definitely do have a storyboard. And first of all, to answer the first part of your question, I mean, for me, coming from live action and coming from theater and drama and being a real theater person, you know, to me, voiceover is like the truest, like most like diluted fine, it's like a fine liqueur or something, you know, it's like the truest art of storytelling to me, because, you know, you can't, except once it's an animation, then the animator will draw a raised eyebrow or a hand on the hip or something like that, you know, but when you're just in the booth creating from scratch, you know, you don't have, or if you haven't seen the character yet in some cases, you really are creating with just your imagination. And you have to be a great storyteller. You have to think of, like, where did this character just come from? Was she on her way to, if it's a princess, does she like the prince? Does she have a crush on him? Did she know him coming up when they went to some, you know, ball together and they were little? If she's an evil queen, you know, how does she feel about the sorcerer? Is she tipsy? Is she, you know. So there's all these, you know, all these feelings and all this history that has to go into the character that can come from your imagination, and then we have to hear you in dialogue, especially when you're auditioning from, like, your home studio and things like that. Now, once you're, sometimes you'll see the picture that you're working, you'll see the drawing, the rendering, when you're auditioning, and sometimes you don't. And then when you're on set, if you've booked the job, then you'll, of course, usually by that point, you will see what the character looks like. And then in the Pixar jobs, in particular, they've already, at that point, once you get to the point where you're in studio with these Pixar jobs, you will definitely see what they look like at that point. So that's cool. So that's really awesome because you get to be like, oh, look at her. She's kind of chubby in the face and she kind of waddles or whatever it is. So you get to see what they look like, and that's really cool. And that definitely gives you some major insight. You just kind of inhabit and you physicalize, and then boom, you're in that person's body. You know, you're in that person's body, and then the rest kind of dictates, like, oh, great, well, so she's, I would imagine her with a deep voice, or I'd imagine her kind of being tight-lipped or kind of with a pursed mouth, or she's kind of uptight or whatever. And so, boom, out comes the voice. You know, when I saw that Pearl was with that big head, she got this big, weird, open mouth, and I was like, and I knew that she had to be bigger than everybody else, that when she was walking underneath the sea there in Bikini Bottom, that her footsteps were like, boom, boom, boom. And I just knew that she was going to be this large, and she was going to be like, hi! And it would just kind of, like, you know, send, like, ripples, like, literally huge ripples throughout the ocean. You know, it was just going to be huge. And so I had to have this sort of lovable, big, floppy-sounding voice that would be this sort of larger-than-life teenage, underwater, huge, ginormous, endearing, you know, creature. And so that's how that voice came out, because I knew she was bigger than everyone else.
Well, you definitely brought her to life, that's for sure.
Yeah, I love it. I love her so much. She just might be my favorite, I think, because I was like, that's how I am. I'm this larger than life, kind of like, dopey kid, and I'm going to be 49 next month, you know. So I haven't changed much.
Welcome to the club. I'm 49 this month. I'm about to be 50.
Oh,
so
happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Gemini.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm a Cancer. Next month, I'm going to be 50, so I'm right.
All right, oh, fellow Cancer.
Yes,
cool.
thank you. So I feel you. I'm a big kid. I actually interview musicians all the time, so I'm normally, you know, talking to people much younger than me, but I fit right in, so...
Perfect.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't say enough about this project, about what you bring to it. I think it's great that they have you in the fold here, and I just can't wait for everyone to see it. It's, you know, kids, adults, you know, teens, which that was one of my last questions for you, is going to be, you know, do you think this is going to be a good thing for Pixar to bring in this sort of preteen and teen demographic? I mean, even for teens that have gone through this, it would be great for them to see.
Yeah, I do, actually, especially the kind of thing where I was just FaceTiming with my niece and nephew and my sister, whom I miss and love so much because they're in Nashville, and my whole family's, like, in the business, so my sister's a DJ, and my nephew and niece are both, like, dancers and performers, and my brother's a musician in New York, and my parents are voice actors. That's where I learned everything I know from them. Yeah, they met in theater school and were back in the 50s, and they were theater majors with radio minors, and so... They're both still perform and write and direct, and so I think if I'd come home and said I wanted to be a lawyer or a doctor, they would have thought I was crazy. But and so anyway, I was FaceTiming with them, and I know that they're going to go to the movie, because it's just the kind of thing where it's just about, and especially maybe because my niece and nephew, they're in their, well, they're 14 and 17, so, you know, they're excited to go, not just because I'm in it, but because it really is about emotions and dealing with, like, you know, those kind of the parent-child relationships. And I even think it's kind of like when I went to Toy Story, and I could see a lot of, like, adults there without their kids even.
Right.
You know, it's like they want to experience that sort of nostalgia and that kind of, they just want to feel. And the Pixar movies really make you... They take you on this journey where you're allowed to sit and have a cry. It's not like some kind of superficial experience. It's like really taking you inside and having a meaningful, like, experience. And I really think it does give kids, like, you know, there's so much stuff that goes on with bullying and kids being really hateful and
nasty.
Oh, yeah.
definitely.
Yeah, kids can be awful, and really, I mean, terribly mean. And you know, with kids, with you know, kids that are transgender, or kids that are different, and kids that are, you know, the bullying that goes on is just awful. And now with social media, you can just see how people do cyberbullying. If any kid is different in any way, I got picked on. I was bullied as a kid. It was awful.
Oh yeah.
And if this movie can, in any way, like, help you be able to say, like, Mom, Dad, this freaks me out. I'm scared. Like, somebody at school. I mean, if it helps anybody be able to, like, express their feelings just in this, you know, just this much. I'm holding my fingers out like an inch, you know. Like, this much, be able to, like, express, you know, be able to kind of get permission to not be afraid to tell their parents how I'm feeling, to tell anyone how they're feeling. You know, go down to the principal's office. Like, an adult for that matter, you know. Communicate with your partner, like, you know, communicate with your neighbor, communicate with somebody a little better.
Right.
You know, then we're all better for that, right?
We are, and you know, I think that's a great place for us to leave it, because, you know, there's been so much of that lately, and social media makes it so much worse sometimes with the bullying,
yeah.
And you know, I think that's probably one of the most important messages that we could leave it on here for everyone listening. You know, take your kids, take yourselves, you know, just go see the movie. It, you know, I'm going to be going with my two adult children in their
20s. Aww, that's so sweet.
Yeah. But definitely take Kleenex.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. And we're going to be talking to Riley a little later this afternoon. So,
good. Tell her I said hi. We were just having a fun Twitter exchange last night. That's awesome. Please tell her I said hi. And I even tweeted her. I said, you are a wonderful actress, because we missed each other on the red carpet, or the purple carpet, as it was. And I just said, you are one heck of a just dynamite actress. She's wonderful. She's a great example of what it's like when you only have the microphone and you.
Right.
I don't know who, you know, she may have gone in with Kyle or Diane, who were a lot of her scenes, but oftentimes you're in there, sometimes even alone.
Right.
So she is a wonderful storyteller. So please tell her that I said hello.
I absolutely will. I can't wait to talk to her. I'm fascinated.
Yeah.
So I can't wait.
Yeah,
and
terrific.
Thank you again, and you know, you enjoy the rest of your day and enjoy the success that this movie's going to bring.
Thanks for having me. It was great talking with you.
And to you too. It was really a pleasure.
Have a great time at the movie.
Thank you, Laura. I appreciate it. All right.
Okay. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.